We've recently begun the pastimes of the story of Maharaj Prithu, and Maharaj Prithu's pastimes begin with his father, who was such a bad king. His name was what? King Vena. King Vena is synonymous with cruelty. The name is synonymous more or less with cruelty. Because he, as we read previously, his mother was the daughter of death personified, and there is nothing more cruel than death in this world. Death is mercilessness, merciless. When someone is dying, even if so many people will suffer due to his death, death doesn't care at all. When it's time to die, death will come and take us away. So cruel death had a daughter, and that daughter was the mother of cruel King Vena. And when the king, Maharaj Anga, understood that his son was so cruel and bad, he would even, in playing, kill his playmates. I want to imagine how bad the boy was. So immediately when he understood the mental condition of his son, the mood of his son, he went for the forest and gave up to be the king. The result of that, unfortunately, was without a strong government, Maharaj Anga was a strong governor, the thieves and rogues and cheaters and plunderers began taking over. And the sages who understood the need for good government, they decided to give King Vena a chance, although they knew his nature, so they installed him as the king. And immediately, when such a powerful yet cruel king was placed on the throne, the thieves became frightened, the plunderers became terrified. The murderers slunk out of view. But Maharaj Vena did not only do good things, he did horrible things. He stopped all the sacrifices. Basically, he was demonic. And in his demonic mood, in stopping the sacrifices, his mood was, no one should worship God. The king is the representative of God. Don't worship the demigods. Everything resides, everything is complete in the body of the king. Me. So all sacrifices, all religious performances stopped, and everyone's duty is just to worship me. So when the sages saw how he wasn't doing well, and they understood the future would be horrible with this king, they went and pleaded with him and told him that wasn't the proper way. They very humbly spoke to him. They told him this is not proper. And yet he refused to listen to the good advice of the sages. And the sages then, using mantras, they cursed him and he died. And immediately the thieves and murderers came out of hiding and began disturbing the citizens, and the sages again thought of what to do. So with their incredible mystic knowledge, they did not want to waste the seminal line of Dhruva Maharaj, whose descendant was Maharaj Anga and also Maharaj Vena, because in that line there were such powerful kings, and to actually rule properly, one has to have power. An ordinary clerk or something, he can't be made a king. He has the wrong mentality. Not an ordinary person. There's a story, not story in the sense of fiction, but how when the Dhamma. Chanakya Pandit, he had some altercation with the king, huh? Chandragupta, that was the Maurya dynasty, yeah. So somehow he was insulted, the Brahmin Chanakya Pandit, and he took down his sikha was tied, and he untied it and said, "I will not tie it again until this king is removed, is gotten out of power." So he left the city, and one day he saw what was the name of the king to be? Chandragupta Maurya. No.
That was the
king to be. Yeah, it was Chandragupta. And the other one was, I can't remember.
Magad.
Huh?
Magad, the kingdom of Magad, he was angry with, and Chandragupta, he trained him.
Yes, he trained him. Magad is where? Is that Bihar? Yeah. Yes, place of Jarasandha. So when he saw that there was this Chandragupta Maurya, he saw him one day playing with his friends in the forest, and he had such an ability to command, and everyone naturally listened to him. He understood that this was a suitable candidate, and he trained him and actually overthrew the dynasty. So an ordinary person can't be made the king. It has to be someone who is very commanding, who is religious, is powerful, Ishwara Bhav, it is called, has the charisma for leadership, and plus religiousness, plus the different qualities, dhanam, Ishwara Bhavam, cha, chatram, karma, swabhava, ja. Giving charity, very generous. Even that Jarasandha was so generous in giving charity. Powerful. Astikyam. That's Brahmakama. A very religious. So that dynasty coming from Dhruva Maharaj, that seminal line coming from Dhruva Maharaj, even though Vena was bad due to the improper... His mother was improper, but yet the line was powerful. So the sages decided to rectify the line, and using their mystic powers, they churned the body of Vena until the sinful activities were first removed with a bahuka, a sinful person who they sent to the forest. And then after that, by continuously churning the legs, with their mystic powers, continuously turning the legs of Vena, then Prithu Maharaj and his wife Archie, who both were Shaktavish avatars, the potency of the Lord, the Shakti of the Lord for ruling, had entered into Prithu Maharaj. So he was empowered by Krishna to rule the world, and therefore he is called Adiraj. So when we're hearing the next chapters, and there's quite a few of them, this is one of the longer sections of the Bhagavatam, we'll hear this philosophy, but also there's a lot of information on ruling, on how to rule. Why is it required? The Bhagavatam is Paramhamsa Samhita. It is written to bring us to the highest level of spiritual life. Why is so much information on ruling there? Because in society, unless the society is governed properly, it's so hard to make spiritual advancement. If people are too poor, then they cannot think about spiritual life. If people are too disturbed by anxiety, by disease, pestilence, war, or whatever, they can't think properly about spiritual life. So therefore, the proper governance of a kingdom is so essential, not for only material life, because if someone is extremely advanced, his material situation doesn't affect him. But for us mere mortals, we are so much affected by our surroundings. And when the surroundings are impious, disturbed, when the taxation is too high, when there's no principles on, religious principles on which the government is being based, then everyone's mind becomes so disturbed, it's just so hard to make advancement. So therefore, it's very important that there be good governance. So the Bhagavatam explains the principles of good government in several parts, but perhaps especially through this section on Prithu Maharaj. Also in the first canto about Yudhisthira Maharaj, there's a lot on government. And Pirkit Maharaj, also on government. So we ended the last classes on chapter 16, the first three verses. We read those wherein Prithu Maharaj was going to be coronated as the king, and he was being glorified. But as he was about to be glorified, he said, "I'm just beginning my kingship. It's not proper to glorify someone before they've done something. So you wait." And through this, Prithu Maharaj was explaining that before someone glorifies an ordinary person as being God, a so-called God or Bhagavan, they have to act in a most extraordinary way. Not he's God, later on he'll do something wonderful, now we'll call him God and we'll praise him and flatter him. No, first perform wonderfully and then receive the glorifications of being wonderful. So Prithu Maharaj told this to the poets and reciters, "Don't glorify me in this way." But yet the sages told these reciters, "Yes, you go ahead, because we understand who he is." So today, Krishna willing, we'll start with text 4 and see if we can complete the chapter, and we'll hear the glorifications that were given of Prithu Maharaj, the Adiraj, that one, the primal king, practically speaking, empowered by Krishna. So when Krishna empowers someone to be the king, how he governs and what he is able to do sets the standard, sets the example for others. So here is the beginning of the glorification in text 4. Eshadam abritam shrishto lokam dame anuvartayan gokta cha damase tunam shashtatat paripantinam. The king, Maharaj Prithu, they said, the glorifier said, is the best amongst those who are following religious principles. As such, he will engage everyone in the pursuit of religious principles and give those principles all protection. He will also be a great chastiser to the irreligious and atheistic. So here is the first duty of a king that Maharaj Prithu is being glorified as performing. There are three points here. He follows religious principles. He himself follows. He oversees everyone to make sure that everyone else is following religious principles, and he protects those principles, makes sure that they don't become perverted, and fourth, he chastises irreligious or atheistic principles. So four items are mentioned here as to the duty of the king, and they have to do with religious principles. He follows himself, he gets others to follow. He protects religious principles and he chastises and removes irreligiosity. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The duty of the king or the head of the government is described very nicely in this verse. It is the duty of the government head to see that the people strictly follow a religious life, because a life of sense gratification doesn't lead one towards elevation. It degrades one. Everyone comes into this world having so many desires. If we fan those material desires in an irreligious way, we will simply degrade ourselves. desires are born of passion, and passion acted upon unrestrictedly ends up in ignorance. And even if we have desires or passion, if it is dealt with properly, it can be transmuted into goodness. So religious principles will do that. So a king, it is the duty of the government head to see that the people strictly follow a religious life. A king should also be restrict in chastising the atheists. In other words, an atheistic or godless government should never be supported by a king or governmental chief. That is the test of good government. In the name of secular government, the king or governmental head remains neutral and allows people to engage in all sorts of irreligious activities. In such a state, people cannot be happy despite all economic development. However, in this age of Kali, there are no pious kings. Instead, rogues and thieves are elected to the government. Prabhupada very, very strong here, saying that secular government doesn't mean that it is neutral in regard to religion. Secular government means that it doesn't force, a proper secular government doesn't force the people to be a member of a specific, particular religion. Rather, a secular government ensures that everyone follows some religion and some religious principles, regardless of what that religion is. Not atheism. And then Prabhupada says rogues and thieves are elected in the government. But how can the people be happy without religion and God consciousness? The rogues exact taxes from the citizen for their own sense enjoyment. And in the future, the people will be so much harassed that according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they will flee from their homes and country. They take shelter in the forest because the taxes will be so high. And the governments will give them so much trouble, they'd rather live in the forest. However, in Kali Yuga, democratic government can be captured by Krishna conscious people. If this can be done, the general populace can be made very happy. Next verse, glorification of Harishkritu. This king alone, in his own body, will be able in due course of time to maintain all living entities and keep them in a pleasant condition by manifesting himself as different demigods to perform various departmental activities. So he's going to be so powerful that he will not depend upon the demigods, but rather he can do all the functions because he is the Lord. Pitamaraj is the Lord. He can perform all the functions of the demigods even without their help. Venu said, just worship the king. But he was not God, and therefore what he was saying was horrible, anti-religious. But Pritamaraj performed the function, was the Lord himself, Shaktaveshav Avatar. So he manifested his potency and performed the functions of the demigods at different times. Thus he will maintain the upper planetary systems by inducing the populace to perform Vedic sacrifices. In due course of time, he will also maintain this earthly planet by discharging proper rainfall. So Prabhupada in this purport speaks about the proper performance of yajna, of sacrifices, and the result of sacrifices will be there'll be sufficient rain and sufficient food, etc. Prabhupada explains in the second half of the purport. Thus the proper execution of yajna sacrifice is required. As indicated herein, King Prito alone would induce all the citizens to engage in sacrificial activities so that there would not be a scarcity or distress. In Kali Yuga, however, in the so-called secular state, the executive branch of government is in charge of so-called kings and presidents who are all fools and rascals, ignorant of the intricacies of nature's causes and ignorant of the principles of sacrifice. Such rascals simply make various plans which always fail. And this we see is a fact that there's always a plan a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, an idea how everything's going to be turned around, some economic plan, economic rationalism, this plan, that plan, make this dam, change this river, increase the jobs, this tax, that tax. But these plans always fail. They don't actually bring prosperity. Prabhupada very boldly says this. And people subsequently suffer disturbances. To counteract this situation, the Shastras advise Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam kalo nasteva nasteva gati anyata. Three nastevas. Nasteva, nasteva, nasteva. There is no other way in Kali Yuga other than chanting the holy names of the Lord. That is the sacrifice recommended in Kali Yuga. Thus, in order to counteract this unfortunate situation in government, the general populace is advised to chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. And that makes, gradually or quickly, it makes things very auspicious. Text 6. Thus King Prithu, this King Prithu, this is the predictions of the sages, will be as powerful as the sun god. And just as the sun god equally distributes his sunshine to everyone, King Prithu will distribute his mercy equally. Similarly, just as the sun god evaporates water for 8 months and during the rainy season returns it profusely, the king will also exact taxes from the citizens and return these monies in times of need. The process of tax exaction is very nicely explained in this verse. Tax exaction is not meant for the sense gratification of the so-called administrative heads. Prabhupada condemns this again and again and again. How the taxes are taken, there's just different ways from the graduated income tax to this plan, to the GST, to the VAT, to the sales tax, to that. There's just, no matter what, they say it is just a plan to extract more money from these poor citizens and make their life more difficult and make the governmental heads increase their salaries. And that was one of the first things that happened last year after the GST was passed. The government people voted themselves a larger salary or something like that, and huge salaries too. But that's not what the government is supposed to do. Tax revenues should be distributed to the citizens in times of need during emergencies such as famine or flood. Tax revenues should never be distributed amongst government servants in the form of high salaries and various other allowances. When Prabhupada was going to speak to Indira Gandhi many years ago about some suggestions on how to change the government, one of the point was that there should be brahmanas who are in the legislative assembly, because one reason is that brahmanas don't take any salary. They're required not to take salary. So one will save so much money in that way. Very practical consideration. In Kali Yuga, however, the position of the citizens is very horrible because taxes are exacted in so many forms not spent for the personal comforts of the administrators. This King Prithu will be very, very kind to all the citizens. Even though a poor person may trample over the king's head by violating the rules and regulations, the king, out of his causeless mercy, will be forgetful and forgiving. As a protector of the world, he would be as tolerant as the earth itself. So kindness to the citizens, not just simply extracting money from them and exploiting them or lying to them or cheating them, but kind to the citizens and tolerant of their mistakes, yet but very strong. So many powerful and wonderful qualities. Purport. King Prithu is herein compared to the earthly planet as far as his tolerance is concerned. Though the earth is always trampled upon by men and animals, it still gives food to them by producing grains, fruits, and vegetables. As an ideal king, Maharaj Prithu is compared to the earthly planet. For even though some citizens might violate the rules and regulations of the state, he would still be tolerant to maintain them with fruits and grains. In other words, it is the duty of the king to look after the comforts of the citizens, even if at the cost of his own personal convenience. This is not the case, however, in Kali Yuga. For in Kali Yuga, the kings and heads of state enjoy life at the cost of taxes exacted from the citizens. Such unfair taxation makes the people dishonest. How does it make them dishonest? Because everyone cheats on their taxes. It's impossible, practically, or very difficult to be fully honest in business, because one will go broke. So therefore, no one, practically speaking, or very few people, are honest. And people tried to hide their income in so many ways. Eventually, the state will not be able to collect taxes, and consequently, they will not be able to meet its huge military and administrative expenses. So in every state, more or less, in every country, these two expenses, military and administration expenses, are some of the largest of all the expenditures, the high salaries, and nowadays, of course, the servicing of the national debt. That means the banks get their money. The people who loan them, the governments, are always in deficit spending. There was the governments always spend more than they have, and they have to borrow it. And when you borrow money from people, you have to do what they say, and not only that, you have to pay large interest. So always the interest is so high on the government, that the government is paying. So much of the taxes goes to just to pay the debt. And what does the debt come from? Military expenditures and administrative expenses, paying the salaries and for the big, big administration, blown up administration. Everything will collapse if they cannot collect the taxes, and there'll be chaos and disturbance all over the state. Text 8. When there is no rainfall and the citizens are in great danger due to scarcity of water, this royal personality of Godhead will be able to supply rains exactly like the heavenly king Indra. Thus he will very easily be able to protect the citizens from drought. King Prithu, Prophet's purport, is very appropriately compared to the sun and the demigod Indra. King Indra of the heavenly planets is in charge of distributing water all over the earth and other planetary systems. It is indicated that King Prithu would arrange for the distribution of rainfall personally if Indra failed to discharge his duty properly. Sometimes the king of heaven, Indra, would become angry at the inhabitants of the earth if they did not offer sacrifice to appease him. King Prithu, however, being an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, did not depend on the mercy of the heavenly king Indra. It is foretold herein that if there would be a scarcity of rain, King Prithu would manage to counteract the deficiency by virtue of his godly powers. Such powers were also exhibited by Lord Krishna when he was present in Vrindavan. Indeed, when Indra poured incessant water on Vrindavan for 7 days, the inhabitants were protected by Krishna, who raised Govardhan Hill over their heads as a great umbrella. Thus Lord Krishna is also known as Govardhana Dhari. So, Maharaj Prithu will similarly protect the citizens by, when, if Indra does not provide rains, he will organize the rains by his own power. This King Prithu Maharaj, by virtue of his affectionate glances and beautiful moon-like face, which is always smiling with great affection for the citizens, will enhance everyone's peaceful life because he's a hero. The people naturally want a king. They just naturally want a king, a hero who is powerful, who they can look up to. It is just natural. So Prithu Maharaj was that kind of a king that had that power and everyone looked up to him, and yet he was fully honest, thought of the citizens as his own children, and took care of them as his duty. The reciters continued, "No one will be able to understand the policies the king will follow." So this is the diplomacy and statesmanship. No one will be able to figure out what he is doing secretly. Because kings, when there is a king, there is always some politics. It has to be. A king cannot be a pacifist. And he has to perform some type of politics and clever dealings. There has to be that in this world. So when Prithu Maharaj would perform his niti, rajniti, his politics, no one would be able to understand his plans and his methods. His activities will also be very confidential, and it will not be possible for anyone to know how he will make every activity successful. His treasury will always remain unknown to everyone. He will be the reservoir of unlimited glories and good qualities, and his position will be maintained and covered just as Varuna, the deity of the seas, is covered all around by water. So no one, just like Varuna, is always covered by water. Similarly, and no one can see, plumb its depths and understand its depths. So similarly, the depths of Prithu Maharaj's plans and his treasury, no one can understand. And Prabhupada gives the second paragraph of the purport is interesting about keeping one's finances a secret. Listen to what he says. The word upagupta vitta is very significant in this verse. It indicates that no one would know the extent of the riches King Prithu would confidentially keep. The idea is that not only the king, but everyone should keep his hard-earned money confidentially and secretly, so that in due course of time, the money can be spent for good practical purposes. In Kali Yuga, however, the king or government has no well-protected treasury, and the only means of circulation is currency notes made of paper. But now Kali Yuga has advanced from paper to plastic. Thus, in times of distress, the government, when they don't have any money, what do? They artificially inflate the currency by simply printing papers. So when the government runs out of money, they don't have enough money, they just print more money. They're the only people who can do that legally. If you try and print more money when you run out of money, you'll get into trouble. But they have the legal right to do that. But when that happens, when they put more money in circulation, what happens is that the price of everything goes up, and that's called inflation. And then what happens? If you have a fixed income and you can't print money, you have a certain amount of money. And then when the price goes up, you suffer. So the citizens suffer in that way. They artificially raises the price of commodities, and the general condition of the citizens becomes very precarious. So everyone is convinced that we're making progress now, but and things are getting better. But 50 years ago, the husband and the wife didn't have to work. It was only the husband who worked. And the wife would take care of the family in the Western countries. And what happens now? The husband works, the wife works, and the child goes to the daycare center, and he's not brought up with the proper affection and training. So it is a horrible system. So the husband works and the wife works. Why? Because the debt is so high. And everything is so expensive. It's not simple. This is advancement. So the general condition of the citizens becomes very precarious. Thus keeping one's money very secretly is an old practice. For we find this practice present even during the reign of Maharaj Prithu. Just as the king has the right to keep his treasury confidential and secret, the people should also keep their individual earnings a secret. There is no fault in such dealings. The main point is that everyone should be trained in the system of Vanashrama Dharma so that the money is spent only for good causes and nothing else. So we may take up the issue and say, I follow Prabhupada, I'm not telling anyone how much money we have. I have hidden away underneath my mattress and the floorboards or whatever. But there is another part that one should spend one's money, that's the purpose of it, for good causes and nothing else. And nothing else, that means not for bad causes. King Prithu was born of the dead body of King Vena as fire is produced from Arani wood. A rani wood is a particular type of wood used in sacrifices. When it's put together by the use of mantra, the brahmanas can ignite this wood just with mantra. So similarly, as fire is produced from the Arani wood, similarly, and the Arani wood itself has no life, so similarly, Maharaj Preetu was produced from the body of dead King Vena. Thus, Preetu, King Preetu, will always remain just like fire. And his enemies will not be able to approach him. Just like we cannot come very close to fire. Unless we are made out of fire, we cannot get near fire. We have to keep our distance. So similarly, Maharaj Preetu will be like fire produced from a rani wood. And his enemies, those who are irreligious, cannot come close to him. They will fear him. He will be so powerful. The irreligious will fear him. For although staying very near him, he will be unbearable to his enemies. For although staying very near him, they will never be able to approach him, but will have to remain as if far away. In other words, he will have nothing to fear from his enemies. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Preetu. King Preetu will be able to see all the internal and external activities of every one of his citizens. Still, no one will be able to know his system of espionage. This is practical. And he himself will remain neutral regarding all matters of glorification or vilification paid to him. In other words, his consciousness will be fixed on doing the right thing. The right thing he will know as empowered by, because he's empowered by Krishna, he will know what is right and what is wrong for what? For the actual benefit of the citizens. And he will be so fixed on that, and he will be able to ruin any plot through his espionage. He will know in advance any plot against him, and he again represents doing the correct thing. Because soon, again, as soon as there's any kind of kings and power, there's always politics. There must be politics. There's friends and enemies. That's the difference between Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. The Brahmana can, he is very, very liberal and does good for everyone and doesn't even ask anything in return. He gives knowledge, he teaches, and he doesn't take anything in return. Maybe if someone offers him something, he accepts it, but he doesn't charge. He doesn't take a salary, he doesn't charge. Very liberal. And a Kshatriya will also give. He will give protection, but he is not as liberal and open-hearted as a Brahmin, but he demands something. You have to submit to him. You have to surrender to him in the sense of become his person. And then he will give you protection. The Vaishya will give you protection, but whatever he gives you, he will take more. It's the nature of a Vaishya. It's business. And the Sudra, one doesn't give. He's more strictly regulated. So soon as there is a king in power, there must be politics. So Maharaj Preetu taught how to do that politics properly. And even Ramachandra, there was espionage going on during the time of Ramachandra. It always must be there. We're not utopian. Since this king, so in any case, he'd be doing what is necessary to do good for everyone in the kingdom, but he himself, But some people may criticize him, people will glorify him, but he himself just remains neutral and fixed in doing the correct thing. Since this king will always remain on the path of piety, so this is the essential part, the path of piety, staying always on that, he always was on that, so therefore his politics and his espionage and his treasury were never misused, they were used properly. So he always remained on the path of piety. He will be neutral to both his son and the son of his enemy. If the son of his enemy is not punishable, he will not punish him. But if his own son is punishable, he would immediately punish him. Just as the sun god expands his shining rays up to the Arctic region without impedance, The influence of King Preeta will cover all tracts of hands up to the of land up to the Arctic region, will remain undisturbed as long as he lives. So no one will be able to check his influence or power, as no one can stop the sun from shining its rays everywhere. This king will please everyone by his practical activities. Again, people long for this type of a ruler. It's just natural. It's part of the human psyche to want a king, and who one can look up to, etc. And he will please everyone by his practical activities, and all the citizens will remain very satisfied. Because of this, the citizens will take great satisfaction in accepting him as their ruling king. And he's not enforcing his rule upon them, but they're satisfied. And naturally, when the citizens are satisfied, they want to return the government, the same government, to power. The king will be firmly determined and always situated in truth, just the opposite of today's leaders, firmly situated in untruth. There's an old joke that it's actually about lawyers, but it's true for politicians too. And nowadays, everyone is so cynical about the politicians. There's a saying about, how do you know when a lawyer is lying? And the answer is, his lips are moving. And that's how people feel about the politicians as well. Everyone is so cynical about politicians. The king will be firmly determined and always situated in truth. He will be a lover of the Brahminical culture, and he will render all services to old men and give shelter to all surrendered souls. Giving respect to all, he will always be merciful to the poor and the innocent. So kind, very, very kind and compassionate and soft-hearted to the right people at the right times. The king will respect all women as if they were his own mother, and he will treat his own wife as the other half of his body. He will be just like an affectionate father to his citizens, and he will treat himself as the most obedient servant of the devotees, who always preach the glories of the Lord. Purport. A learned man treats all women except his wife as his mother, looks on others' property as garbage in the street, and treats others as he would treat his own self. These are the symptoms of a learned person, as described by Chanakya Pandit. Prabhupada tells that this point about a learned person treats others' property as if garbage in the street. He tells that 50 years ago, in certain places where there was strong government, I think he mentions Kashmir, if someone dropped something out of his pocket, his wallet, no one would touch it or pick it up. And if you came back after hours and hours and hours, it would still be there. No one would touch it. And now people, even if you have honest motives, you would, someone would say, well, take it, I want to give it to the right people. But no one would even touch it. It's not mine, I won't touch it. Treating others' property as if it was garbage, if we don't touch garbage on the street, treating others' property like that, and let the person who lost it come back and get it. Education, this is what education means. Treating everyone except wife as mother, look on other properties as garbage in the street, and treats others as one would treat his own self. Treating others as one would treat one's own self. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. These are the symptoms of a learned person as described by Chanakya Pandit. This should be the standard for education. Education does not mean having academic degrees only. One should execute what he has learned in his personal life. These learned characteristics will verily manifest in the life of King Preeta. In other words, character. The result of proper education is strong character. Although he was the king, he treated himself as a servant of the Lord's devotees. According to Vedic etiquette, if a devotee came to the king's palace, the king would immediately offer his own seat, the throne, to him. The word Brahmavadinam is very significant. Brahmavadi refers to the devotees of the Lord. Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagawan are different terms for the Supreme Brahman, and the Supreme Brahman is Lord Krishna. The word Brahmavadinam refers to the devotees of the Lord. The state should always serve the devotees of the Lord, and the ideal state should conduct itself according to the instructions of the devotee. Because King Prithu followed this principle, he is highly praised. Text 18. The king will consider all embodied living entities as dear as his own self. That means that the pain that they feel, he feels. So he is very careful not to cause any pain to anyone. And the pleasure that they feel, he's trying to give them pleasure, happiness, on all levels, so that they're satisfied. And that is his happiness, and that is love. So the king actually loves the citizens, and because of that, they love him. He will openly associate with liberated persons, and he will be a chastising hand to all impious persons. So he wasn't just a softy either. If someone was impious, he was like fire with him. Because why? He did not want the impious to influence the innocent citizens. And he would associate with liberated persons. Why? Because his perspective was a spiritual perspective on life, and that comes from association. The king is the master. This king is the master of the three worlds, and he is directly empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is without change, and he is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord known as Saktavesh Avatar. Being a liberated soul and completely learned, he sees all material varieties as meaningless because their basic principle is nescience. So he has unlimited good qualities, as because he's the a Saktavesh Avatar, an empowered representative of Krishna. And when he saw the citizens, being a liberated soul and completely learned, he sees all material varieties as meaningless. So when he looked at people, all the different praja, all the living entities, he didn't see them according to their bodies. He saw them as eternal souls on the path back to Godhead. And that was their actual inheritance. That was their actual proper destiny, to be with Krishna in the spiritual world in Goloka Vrindavan. So of course he treated them, practically speaking, according to their positions within the material bodies. But he saw them as eternal souls and acted for their eternal welfare. The king, being uniquely powerful and heroic, will have no competitor. He will travel around the globe on his victorious chariot, holding his invincible bow in his hand and appearing exactly like the sun, which rotates in its own orbit from the south. When the king travels all over the world, other kings, as well as the demigods, will offer him all kinds of presentations. Their queens will also consider him the original king, who carries in his hand the emblems of club and disc, and will sing of his fame. For he will be as reputed, famous, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This king, the protector of the citizens, is an extraordinary king, and he is equal to the Prajapati demigods. For the living facility of all citizens, he will milk the earth, which is like a cow. Not only that, but he will level the surface of the earth with the pointed ends of his bow, breaking all the hills exactly like King Indra. The heavenly king breaks mountains with his powerful thunderbolt. So here, the glorifiers are predicting two pastimes that Prithu Maharaj will perform. One, he will provide, he will treat the earth like a cow and milk the earth to make sure that the citizens were getting enough to maintain themselves. The earth has to provide that, and under the proper rulership, the earth does do that. And secondly, he levels the mountains, the land, so the agriculture can take place. So this will be described later. When the lion travels in the forest with its tail turned upward, all menial animals hide themselves. Similarly, when King Prithu will travel over his kingdom and vibrate the string of his bow, which is made from the horns of goats and bulls and is irresistible in battle, all demonic rogues and thieves will hide themselves in all directions. So king, usually a king is called Singha or lion in this way, because when the lion roars, all the lesser animals flee. So the king has that much power. At the source of the river Saraswati, the king will perform 100 sacrifices known as Aswamedha, horse sacrifices. 100 of those, never before had it been done. In the course of the last sacrifice, the heavenly king angel will steal the sacrificial horse. And we'll hear about that. This King Prithu will meet Sanat Kumar, one of the four Kumaras, in the garden of his palace compound. The king will worship him with devotion and will be fortunate to receive instructions by which one can enjoy transcendental bliss. So those instructions are very important. And those, in one sense, are the center of the entire pastimes, the of Prithu Maharaj, the instructions that Sanat Kumar gives to Prithu Maharaj. So we'll hear about those later on too. In this way, when the chivalrous activities of King Prithu come to be known by to the people in general, King Prithu will always hear about himself and his uniquely powerful activities. No one will be able to disobey the orders of King Prithu Maharaj. After conquering the world, he will completely eradicate the threefold miseries of the citizens. Then he will be recognized all over the world. At that time, both the Suras and the Asuras will undoubtedly glorify his magnanimous activities. So he was, the glorifiers were asked, don't say anything wonderful about me until I've done something. And now they're saying, a part of what they're saying in glorification of Prithu Maharaj, he's going to do so many wonderful things that everywhere, when everyone understands the wonderful things that he's done, he will be hearing his own glories. And even the demons and the devotees, everyone, the Suras and the Asuras, everyone will simply glorify him. Why? Because his activities are magnanimous, they are generous, they are not selfish. They are not selfish, they are magnanimous, they are giving, they are wonderful for everyone. The citizens are actually satisfied. So that's the final verse in the chapter. And we'll read the last paragraph in Prabhupada's purport. The word upatita lokasalya indicates that Prithu Maharaj completely uprooted all the miseries of his citizens. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a king that would uproot all our miseries? Who will run for that office? Who will be able to fulfill that election promise? The word salya means piercing thorns. There are many kinds of miserable thorns that pierce the citizens of a state. But all competent rulers, even up to the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, uprooted all the miserable conditions of the citizens. In the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, right at the end of the 10th canto, there's a pastime how in the kingdom of Krishna, in Dwarka, one Brahmin's son died, or his sons one after another died, and he complained to the king, it's your responsibility. Everything miserable, it's the king's responsibility to remove the circumstances that put the citizens in difficulty. So real, in previous ages, real kings were so powerful and they organized things so properly that the citizens were truly happy. It is stated that during the reign of Maharaj Yudhisthira, there did not even exist severe cold or scorching heat, nor did the citizens suffer from any kind of mental anxiety. No flies, maybe. No mental anxiety. And you can see how this is actually possible, because when the spiritual atmosphere is very, very, very strong And we saw this in Prabhupada's presence. When one would go to Prabhupada's presence, he would say, "So everything is all right." And even though you may have a million problems, when you walked into his room and you were in his association, generally speaking, everything was really all right because of the auspiciousness of the person. So when the atmosphere becomes really, really auspicious due to proper management, then the problems actually go away. Even up to the point of severe cold or scorching heat, nor did the citizens suffer from any kind of mental anxiety. This is the standard of good government. Such a peaceful and proper, prosperous government, devoid of anxiety, was established by Prithu Maharaj. Thus the inhabitants of both saintly and demonic planets were all engaged in glorifying the activities of Prithu Maharaj. Persons or nations anxious to spread their influence all over the world should consider this point. If one is able to eradicate completely the threefold miseries of the citizens, he should aspire to rule the world. One should not aspire to rule for any political or diplomatic consideration. In other words, it's the citizens. It's for their benefit. The ruler has the responsibility to uplift and protect and be overridingly concerned for the welfare of the citizens. So when one has the power and knowledge and ability to do that, then one can actually rule the world. And therefore, Prabhupada said that no one but a Mahabhagavat or a great, great, powerful, empowered soul can actually do that. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yep.
It seems kind of interesting that it's recited so that we can predict quite accurately things that are going to happen.
Yeah. They began to praise the king with exalted prayers as they had been instructed by the great sages. Mm-hmm. So they received the information, the practical information from the sages on what would happen. So when Prikrit Maharaj was born, they cast his horoscope, and that's how they learned it. I don't think it exactly says how they understood his position. It could be from Shastra or in that way. Yep.
If Maharaj Prithu was in Shastra's other planet, then he was called the anxiety away from both the demoniac and the planet.
Where is this? Of what? Where does it say that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Thus the inhabitants of both saintly and demonic planets were all engaged in glorifying the activities of Maharaj Prithu. So it didn't say that he took their anxiety away, did it? It said, I mean, they saw his glories. As far as I understand, he was the king of earth, like that. It talks about the king of the world. But his ruling was so wonderful that even those on the demonic planets and the saintly ones glorified him. I think that's the point. Yeah. Man to respect. Any other questions or comments? Yep.
The armed weapons, the largest critical item of trade in the world is weapons, and
it's big business.
Amounts to more than $1,000 billion US dollars a year.
$1,000 billion? Yeah. Yeah, a lot comes from that. It's big business. And you can see what happens is the countries have to be producing newer weapons. So they have to do something with their older and older ones. So they can't just throw them away because that's a loss of money. so they have to sell them. And then what happens when they sell them, they want them to, big countries want the little countries to use them up, so they have to buy more. So therefore that necessitates war. Bad business. Okay, we'll stop. So we'll continue tomorrow. We'll start on chapter 17 tomorrow. Prithu Maharaj becomes angry at the earth. Prithu Maharaj ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.